Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Madcast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Owning Servanthood and the Priesthood of Believing Ones. I'm going to begin this morning's show in Exodus chapter 19. Now, it is important to remember that at the Red Sea, Yahweh separated his people from their old life or their old lives. And at Sinai, he brought them into a new life, a covenant relationship with himself. Now, the word covenant or brit defines the establishment of a particular relationship not naturally existing. Sanctified by an oath and a ceremony of ratification. Once again, the term covenant defines the establishment of a particular relationship, biblical particularism, not naturally existing, sanctified by an oath and a ceremony of ratification. The term Sinai, which refers to Mount Sinai, of course, and is used 31 times in the Pentateuch. At the Sinai event, We have Yahweh speaking to his people about their new and living relationship with him. At the Sinai event, God talks to his people about complete obedience and the consequences of incomplete obedience. We see a case of incomplete obedience in the life of King Saul. And Samuel confronted him for his incomplete obedience. That is, Saul sought to interpret the will of God after he had been given with great clarity, and he had been given the specific command to go and do. But Saul chose a different way. And you and I know the results from his life of compromise and incomplete obedience. Obedience is a serious, serious undertaking in the will of God. Obedience demands our highest devotion if we are to live lives that are well pleasing to God. And so, complete obedience is mandated, whereas incomplete obedience is completely rejected by Yahweh. Please note that the redemption of the people of God was by power. They were redeemed by his power. And they were led by his love. So See, it is important to understand that God leads us by love. Because he loves us. So, and this we read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. And in Deuteronomy 32:11, we read that God, Moses says of God that he bore, Moses speaks to the people of God, and he says, he bore you as a father caring, as a father carries his son. Deuteronomy 32:11. So we have the this coming together of the sacred and the blessedness of having a relationship with Yahweh Elohim. Of course, in the Sinai event and in the covenant that God has with his people, there is an if-then formula or covenant. So in this particular covenant, God says to his people, if you do this, then I will do that. And note, there is no if-then covenant that you and I have with God. And so in Exodus chapter 19, we are looking at the childhood of the nation. They must learn by reward and punishment. So in Exodus 19, verse 5, let me start in verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then, so the if-then formula is in verse 5, out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and the holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And notice verses 7 and 8. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. All the words, not some of the words. This statement is very important, that Moses left nothing out. Moses did not merely speak to the people of God what he thought they should hear. He did not leave out what he believed they would reject. He spoke all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. Paul would say to the Ephesian elders that he had taught them the entire counsel of God. And Paul did this so that they would have a balanced spiritual perspective as to who they are, whose they are. Very important. So in verse 8, the people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. So, verse 10, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He you shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on you. Whether man or animal, you should not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. Of course, then the Lord descended upon the mountain on the morning of the third day. And verse 16 tells us that there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud over the mountain, very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Fire here, of course, is a symbol of divine presence. Smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Listen to the length. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So, verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart. It is important for the people of God to understand who God is. And it is important to remember that within the scripture that we're not given the presence of God is pictured through fire or through precious jewels. Now in Ezekiel, we have a picture of a form-like entity that sits on the chariot throne of God. And that is rare in the Old Testament. And it's very important that we pay attention to the scripture when it uses the language of covenant, when it uses the language of fellowship and holy sanctification. In tomorrow's show, I'll speak about blood, of dam in Hebrew. The Hebrew term for blood is dam. And the first man was called Adam, made from the Adama, that is, the dust of. There's that relationship that we must understand that we have God. We are just to understand biblical servitude. And we will also take a look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, which speaks about kenosis, or the self-emptying of Christ. Does it mean that he gave up his deity or divine attributes? He gave up the outward expression, as it were, of the divine essence, in order to become the anthropos. The history of redemption is beautiful. It's wonderful. So we will begin to look into our portfolio of divine redemptive assets as believing ones. Doctrine bespeaks living realities that are now realities for us. Must grasp important doctrine to living that which is present realities for us as the people of God. Owning servanthood and understanding the priesthood of believing ones is vital this day. I will speak with you next time on the Matacos. I am your host, Dr. Justin. God bless you.